Welcome to Off Leash and Unfiltered. Trigger warning, I'm Katie Pepe, delivering the truth in dog training. Hey everybody, this is your host, Katie Pepe. Before we jump in, I just wanted to take a quick second and remind you to hit the subscribe button because that helps us so much. We appreciate every subscribe and follow, and we have so much valuable information we want to share with you, so we don't want you to miss an episode. Without further ado, let's jump in. Hey everyone, thanks for joining me today. I'm excited about this episode. As you know, if you follow this podcast or any of my stuff at all, I'm super passionate about this stuff. And so every once in a while, you know, I'll see things or I'll hear something, I'll read something on Facebook, or we'll talk about something in a session, and I just get all fired up and I'm like, I gotta talk about this. And this is one of those days. In fact, I'm on a pretty tight schedule. I gotta get out of here and go pick my daughter up at dance. But this was something I just had to get recorded. So unfortunately, she's going to be looking around wondering why there's no one there to pick her up. No, I'm just kidding. I will be there on time to pick up my daughter. This is important, but it's not that important. But yeah, so let's talk about arousal, guys, because here's the thing. I know I kind of talk about it a lot, right? And I feel like a broken record sometimes, but it's so important. And here's what I see. Because we have a lot of clients, right? And we work with a lot of dogs. And man, I put out a ton of content now between all of the social media outlets and the podcast and my website and my blog and obviously just everybody that I see day in and day out in our conversations. But it seems like no matter how much I talk about this, it just doesn't get through with most folks. And I'm not picking on them. I'm picking on me, okay? So obviously, if this is happening, like, I'm not doing a good enough job educating people on what this really means and what it really looks like and really being clear on how to implement it. And I have found in the past, you know, a lot of times we'll have people who are on board and they are committed, they are trying, but we're just not painting a clear enough picture sometimes in certain contexts as to exactly what we mean and exactly what it should look like. And so people go home and they don't actually know how to properly implement what we talked about. And so I think that's the case in a lot of situations. Not always. I definitely think there are situations where people just don't think it's important, or it seems too difficult to do, especially if you are doing something else at the time, right? So dog training, unfortunately, doesn't wait for it to be convenient for us. It's like, yes, you can set up scenarios and you can have the conversations with your dog. Like, that's great training. Do that. But sometimes things are still going to creep up and like surprise you in real time, in the real world, when it's not convenient and you do have guests coming through the door or you do have your hands full of groceries or whatever the case may be. And you either address it or you don't. Right. Or if by some chance you can't address it, like you truly just can't in that moment, okay, well, now you know it's an issue. So go back later, set it up, and have that conversation and do that multiple times so you can make sure that you have cemented with your dog something new and what is expected and the better behavior. So I think that's so important to not just let things slide, but specifically in the context that we're going to talk about, which is arousal and your dog's state of mind. So listen, excuse me. When we train dogs, we teach them commands. Okay. And frankly, I can envision a training program without any commands. And this just gave me that aha moment. So I might just do that. I might just do that. But we do teach commands because they are useful and they do give us a way to communicate to our dogs what we do want. And they give us a way to have things in our language with our dog, things that we can tell them to do that are not negotiable. And that is amazing leverage, not just functionally, so we can get our dog to go where we want and do what we want, but also for the relationship, right? Because now we have some kind of standards. We're setting some kind of bar. We have expectations, which makes us more relevant in a way. And it helps us balance our relationship with our dog. So commands are great. They're fantastic. I'm not saying do away with them. But what I see time and time and time again is that it is the only thing people think about when they think about training. And it is only half of the equation. So think about that. If you're very command-centric and you don't routinely assess and address your dog's state of mind, never mind commands, has nothing to do with it. If you're not doing that, you're losing at least 50% of your ground. You're leaving so much on the table, guys. So clearly, I need to get together with Joyce and we need to talk about this and come up with a plan as to how we're going to do a better job educating our clients on the importance of state of mind and over arousal and what it should look like and when to address it and how to address it and what to expect. Because it is so critical. So let me give you the classic example. There are actually a lot of classic examples that I could come up with, and maybe we'll go over multiple, but the biggest one that I see, because like our clients will come in here, right? And we'll have a lesson. Maybe it's a go-home lesson, maybe it's a private lesson, who knows? But in that lesson, we'll look at the door, right? And I'll show people. And I'll attach a video in the show notes that you can watch where I'm showing somebody how the door should look. And this is one of those things that is supposed to be automatic, meaning I don't use any commands at the door, right? Because I just want the dog to have a level of calmness and politeness that is expected, meaning I'm not going to ask you for it every time. I expect it from you. And that is way better than telling your dog every single time you go to the door that you want something from them. You just expect it, right? So we set the bar a little bit higher when we do that. We make ourselves a little bit more relevant. We have a standard. And so that's the way we do it. But so I'll show someone the door. And the big thing about the door is it gets dogs excited, right? They see the door. Oh, we're going home, or we're going outside, or we're going wherever. But they see a door, generally, most of them want to go through it. So they get excited naturally, right? Doesn't make them a bad dog, but it's a crucial moment that should be leveraged, right? Because how many times a day does your dog go through a door? And so every single instance of that, you're either wiring your dog to pay more attention to the environment and less attention to you. You're wiring your dog to be more autonomous in terms of their level of arousal. So, in other words, they dictate when they get excited, how excited they get, right? And the more excited your dog is, the harder time they will have controlling impulses and listening to you. Everything stays harder if your dog doesn't know how to tone down the arousal. Everything stays more difficult, both for you and for the dog. So, you're wiring one or the other. You can't have it both ways. And so this is actually a pivotal thing in your training with your dog because it's going to go one way or the other. And you're either going to nurture and allow arousal, lack of impulse control, overexcitement, tuning you out, paying more attention to the environment, or you're going to develop a dog that knows their standards and expectations, is more respectful, is more calm, is more focused. And it's just more controlled, and they're no longer just a victim of their arousal, right? They learn how to control it, which is good for them. And that's when your dog is really under control. But so you can wire one or the other. And so what we routinely see is we show people how to wire what we want, which is calmer, more focused, more engaged, right? They're more in control of their own arousal. But then they'll leave here, or the next time they come back for their next lesson or for boarding or whatever it may be. And it's like, it's out the window. The dog just goes crazy at the door. Dog drags them right through the door. And so, listen, it's like, no one's perfect. I'm not saying you should be perfect. But these are things that potentially can make or break what you're trying to build, right? If there's any area in your relationship with your dog, anywhere at all, where you're struggling with their decisions because they're over-aroused, and it's always because they're over-aroused, I can assure you, you can't afford to just not address this. And presumably, if you're not doing it here, you're not doing it at home, right? So let's just be honest about that. Like, everyone's on their best behavior here, not just the dogs. The people are freaking drill sergeants when they're here, right? So I know if your dog's getting overexcited at the door, they're too forward, they're dragging you through, any of that stuff, like, if it looks that way here, I know it probably looks even worse at home. And so I'm trying to help you out here. Like, let's break it down, like, what we're actually looking for. And this is just an example. I've got more. How much time you got? I don't have much. Like I just said, I got to leave soon. But I want to make it really clear in this episode, like, what I mean. So here's what we do. You go to the door. Right away. And we tell everyone this, but this doesn't get it across. So I'm going to break it down even more, but I'm going to tell you what we tell everybody right now, which is you go to the door. If your dog goes all the way up to the door, meaning they go past you to the door, right? Or they weasel their little snoot in between you and the door because they're just waiting for it to open a crack so they can try to squeeze out, you know, that excitement, that forward orientation where they're trying to get in there before you and get out the door. That's a correction. Now, if your dog is next to you, but they're getting really tense and jumpy because they know the door is going to open because they know you're going to go through the door, that's a correction. That's a correction. Not because they're doing something bad, although technically, you could categorize this as that, right? This is unwanted. This is a level of excitement and arousal that is unwanted because it does all those terrible things we just talked about. So that's a dog that just wants to bolt through the door, and eventually they're going to, and probably the only reason they don't is because you have them on a leash, right? So you don't have any control over your dog. Your dog is still fully autonomous. They are still dictating their state of mind, their level of arousal. And you have nothing really to do with anything. So your dog is winding up at the door and you're creating a spring-loaded dog, even if they don't run through the door, guys. So everyone knows to correct their dog if they go through the door, right? And so if I look at someone and I say, right there, that's a correction. They'll say, well, he didn't go through. That's not the point, right? You're missing the whole point in the exercise. The point is, be calm and polite and just wait to see what's going to happen next. So if your dog, even if they're still standing next to you, but they're all tense and they're jumpy and they're kind of looking at you and they're looking at the door and their eyes are big, and you can see them, you can see that spring just winding tighter and tighter and tighter. That's the thing, guys. That's the thing we're correcting. If you don't, then you don't have control of your dog. Chances are, if they don't go through the door, it's only because you have them on leash. And they know it. So what happens when that leash comes off? See ya. Right? And you got to understand, yes, it is about going through the door. It is about making a safer dog. But it's about more than that. It is literally about teaching your dog to control excitement. And what level of excitement is not okay? And the level of excitement that is not okay is the level of excitement that is so visible to us, we can see it, and we know they're having a hard time doing the thing, doing the behavior, containing the impulses, listening to us. They're going to have difficulty with that. That means there's too much excitement. I'm not saying your dog can never be excited. I'm just saying they shouldn't dictate when that happens and how much, right? So when you're ready to get down on the floor and wrestle with your dog in roughhouse, have at it. When you're ready to take the leash off and throw the ball and go crazy, or let them play with their dog friends and go crazy, or play tug of war, fine, have at it. But what we see, and what we see as the main problem in almost every household when people come to us, is that their dog chooses when to get excited. And they often choose to do this at inappropriate moments throughout the day. When it's not okay, when it is annoying, when someone could get hurt, when they could get hurt, it's when we come home, it's when we feed them, it's when we're going out the door. It's when we're getting in or out of the car. It's when guests come over. It's all these things. And nobody says, I don't like that state of mind. I'm going to give you that feedback. We're going to have that conversation. And we're going to take that arousal down a notch, right? Everybody's waiting for the big smoking gun, the dog running through the door, the dog jumping on the people. But at that point, you're honestly way late. So I'm not saying don't correct those things. I'm just saying real good dog training that actually builds something different and helps your dog get better means noticing the state of mind changes way before those behaviors even happen. Right? So we can change the brain chemistry earlier in the process, and we can teach your dog to feel differently, right? To actually feel calmer over time. Because they start to learn, hey, when guests come over, like, that's cool. It might be fun and interesting, but I'm not allowed to go nuts. But if you wait until the last possible second when they're already totally off the rails to tell them that, it'll take forever if it ever gets done at all. Right. So what we see happen is people miss these moments in like every context. But the door is a really good one because that's so common. I mean, that's universal. It's almost everybody. Right. If you miss those moments, then you never really gain control of your dog. You just have this illusion that you have control of your dog because you've got this magical remote in your hand and you can correct them if you need to, if they do something terrible, right? But they're gonna do something terrible because they're getting away with all this over arousal all day long. Love the show? Well, I have great news. We are offering an inexpensive subscription to our new premium content. This is content that isn't available to the general public. We make it just for our subscribers. We're going to cover a variety of new topics in these episodes, and I think it's going to be a ton of fun. So you can jump right down into the show notes to get that website address, and then skip over there and sign up for this premium content. Just wanted to take a second to let you guys know about that. Thank you so much for your support. And now, on with the show. Well, I don't want to live that way with my dog. I want to build something different. I want to teach my dog how to control arousal and what the standards are. so that I don't have to micromanage them all the time, right? Because this sounds to people like micromanagement, but it's actually the opposite, because it's not something you should have to do forever, right? There might be an occasional touch-up. Your dog's not a robot. But generally speaking, once your dog knows the standard, they just do it, right? And now you can feed your dog without all kinds of drama. You can go through the door without all kinds of drama. You can have guests come in without all kinds of drama. Because you've told your dog what level of excitement is not okay. And then they can start to do it on their own. But it requires you being consistent. Right? And how many times a day do you go through a door? So if you only have the conversation once a day, but you're going through a door 10 times a day, well, good luck. Have the conversation and have it in a meaningful way, guys. Because when your dog is aroused too, they're intense, right? So your intensity needs to come in above their intensity. So if you're just tapping your dog on the shoulder when they're bananas, that's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. So you need to know your dog in a sense that you know, like, how crazy are they, right? Because when your dog gets crazy, they tune everything out. They dull everything. Nothing is interpreted the same way. Nothing's received the same way. And so even if you do correct your dog, right, and it works in the moment and kind of interrupts the behavior, and you think, whew, like I caught it. If they keep doing it, they're telling you, no, you didn't. Right? You just interrupted it. You didn't actually change anything. You didn't provide a consequence that actually made the dog think better next time to like try something different, stay calmer. Right? So people are afraid of it. But 110%, if we see a dog start to get too excited, and it's like, yeah, like if you come home, right, or someone comes to pick up their dog, it's like, yeah, I'm glad your dog is happy to see you. But they still have to control themselves, right? And maybe you invite them to get excited when you're ready to. That's really the key, right? This should be at your discretion, not the dog's. Because if it's at the dog's discretion, guys, then it's like that all the time. Which means you never really have control of your dog. And that's a very scary thought. That means you could lose them at any moment. Because you don't control their level of arousal. You haven't set a standard with them. So yes, I expect dogs, even when they see their owners, right? When you come home from work or the store or wherever, your dog gets super excited. No. You should be telling them no, and then correcting that arousal with a real meaningful correction. Now, even if I say that, do you know what most people will do? Even the people who want to do it, they agree. They're on board. They want this to be better. They'll take what I just said, run it through the little dog training filter in the brain. That filter does horrible things. And then on the other end, what happens is they'll come home. Their dog will be really excited and they'll talk to the dog and they'll talk to the dog and they'll talk to the dog like it's a person, and they'll put their hands out and try to push the dog down and they'll say, no, no, you sit, sit. And they'll say the dog's name over and over again. And no attention until you're good. You know, and they'll go on and on. And you know what they're doing? They're making it worse. And it's not at all what I said to do. It's a very simple process. It's a no. It's a very meaningful correction because the arousal is so high. And that looks a little different for every dog, so you got to know your dog. And that's it. Then there's silence, guys. There's nothing after that. Now, if it takes your dog down a notch and you want to, you can then give them a command. Because they'll actually be able to listen to you now, right? Because you've brought the arousal down. But in most of these crazy, chaotic scenarios, I really prefer not to pull in commands until we know we've gotten a dog that is in a much better state of mind and can actually listen. So the last thing you want to do when your dog is that excited is start yelling all kinds of commands at them, like sit or down. Because they can't fucking do it. They're too aroused and you're allowing the arousal. You have to tell them no. And you can't just say no, because that's the other thing, right? It's like, well, say no. And then, drum roll, please. Nothing. You got to provide something tangible, tangible consequence. And the thing is, if you're just talking at your dog like a human, first of all, they don't understand most of what you're saying. And second of all, you're making them more excited. Right? Because now you're just vocalizing a la 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 until the dog is all blah 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 blah. And they think it's a great time and we're all chatting and they're getting more anxious and more wiggly and more worked up and more jumpy. And it isn't moving you any closer to having a dog that's actually under control. And a lot of people will hear this and they will think that, like, we're trying to turn the dogs into robots. We're trying to flatten the dogs. We're trying to strip their personality, or people are afraid that's going to happen. No. No, it's not going to happen. Yes, I set a very high standard. I want dogs under control because those are the dogs that live the best lives. Those are the dogs that are the safest. Those are the dogs that get to be included. Those are the dogs that get to have the freedom because they're truly under control. And so, yes, I don't care how exciting the situation is. I want my dog to basically sit there like nothing is happening until I say, go have a good time. And then we're off to the races when it's safe and when it's appropriate, right? Not around my 80-year-old grandma. Not around traffic, not darting out the door into the road, not running up to other dogs. When I say it's time, then it's time. Until then, keep your ass under control. That's how I feel about it, and that's what I teach. You know, but as humans, sometimes it's hard because we do these things so many times in a day, and they're just part of our normal life. And we have shit to do, right? We've got places to go. We've got things to do. We're overwhelmed. Trust me, I am too. I've got dishes right now. I can't even get to my sink faucet. I had to get 7 dogs in the car this morning. I had someone pee in their kennel, and I didn't even have time to clean it up. I mean, they're not in the kennel. They came with me today. But when I get home tonight, now I've got to do that. Anyway, my point is, I get you. Like, we all have a lot of pressure. We're all overwhelmed, like a lot of us are, right? But your dog is going to know that if things are different when you've got shit to do, then they just know that, right? Because your dog is a genius. I always say people will tell me what they think they're doing, but the dog will tell me the truth. The dog will tell me what's really happening. Meaning, your dog doesn't have the human ability to think cognitively about things like you do, right? So your dog isn't, they're not conspiring against you. They just know. They know the patterns. They know when the consequences come and when they don't. And so they know that there's just no reason to control the arousal, right? Because no one's going to do anything about it. But if you can convince your dog that you have this standard and that it's all the time, which doesn't take that long, then they start to do it on their own. They know what's expected. So look at Hank too. He's black lab. Crazy as all get out. Great dog. Super sweet. Good social lab. Fast learner. But crazy, right? He's a lab. And I kind of get the sense that his owners weren't convinced this was going to go well. And I'll tell you what, he hasn't even been here 2 weeks yet. He goes home the end of the week. This is Monday. And I can't even remember the last time that he acted crazy. Right? Because he's just changed that. He just knows, like, we don't do that. And on the occasion, and I'm sure there's still the occasion, where he starts, we start to see some of that surface, right? Maybe because he sees the cat running by, or maybe because he sees someone on the other side of the door. Who knows? We start to see that, we tell him right away, no, we don't do that. We don't wait until he's a level 9 or 10. Right? We don't think, oh, it's all fixed now, we'll never have to do it again. But we also don't think, oh, we'll just do it when I've got nothing else going on. I've got no pressure, I've got no obligations, I'm not in a rush, I don't have my hands full, right? The only time we're going to do it is when we're having a training lesson. Well, your dog will know that. So if you want your dog to control themselves in real life, then you have to have conversations with them in real life. And you need to focus those conversations, guys, on state of mind, not just physical behavior, right? Or not just the worst possible physical behavior. So people want to wait until their dog is not only off the rails, but like they're crashed and burning in a ditch before they correct them. Let's hit rewind and get the train back on the tracks. And the second you see that speed picking up to more than it's supposed to be, that's when you correct your dog. State of mind, guys. It's not about going through the door. It's about being too excited about the door. It's about being too forward-oriented physically and or mentally. Being too forward. Being too escalated. Being too aroused, too stimulated, too wound up, too spring-loaded, too ready to explode, right? That's the moment you're correcting. Whether we're talking about doors or food or guests or other dogs, doesn't matter. They're all the same. So have those conversations with your dog. Teach them what level of arousal is okay, right? A little excitement might not be a big deal. We're glad your dog is happy to see you. We don't care if they wag their tail and they go over with a nice soft body to say hello, right? But if your dog goes bananas and they're shrieking and they're jumping, no. Like, that is a dog you have to have a conversation with, and you should have it before it even gets to that point. Because you already know where it's going. Right? So I can come through. If my dog's on place, I can come through the door. Nothing really happens. My big dog, he might whine a little. He might. Right? But that's good. That's how I want it. Control yourself. Right? And then when I'm ready, which might be right away, or it might be a half an hour from then, I can break him. I can give him all the loves. And he loves it, and he's wiggly, and he's bouncy, but he's not crazy, crazy. Right? And if I want to let him go crazy, I could, but it's going to be at my discretion. If the dog is making the decision, that generally means it's probably not great for your dog training. It's going to make everything stay difficult and challenging. So that's another concept I try to explain to people. If you correct the arousal, everything gets easier, right? It's the same reason that you can't use the place command to fix door reactivity. If your dog goes crazy when someone comes to the door, guys, you can't fix that with the place command. You're going to fix that with a correction. Don't go bananas about the door. Period. Put a period at the end of that sentence. Hell, put an exclamation mark at the end of that sentence. Don't go crazy about the door. Okay, that is not the same conversation as go to place. Those are two different conversations. And what happens is, even if you can get your dog onto place, it's really, really hard for them. And they sit there and they're spring-loaded and they're forward and they're whining and their ears are up and their eyes are big. And eventually, they just fly off there because they boil over. Because you never dealt with the arousal. You never told them that level of arousal is not okay. You never provided that correction to tell them that state of mind, it's bad, I don't like it. And so you're trying to utilize the place command, and they're just bubbling over, right? And they can't do it. Same scenario I described a minute ago, where we come home from work and we're talking to the dog all this nonsense. We're saying sit, 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 and down, 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 and we're having full sentences with them like they're people. The commands are stupid in that context, guys, because your dog can't do it, and you are missing the point, not your dog. You're missing the point, which is your dog is too escalated, and you need to tell them that. And that's it. Don't tell them anything else. There's nothing else to say. Give them a minute after that. I don't know, maybe not a full minute, right? But like, give them a few seconds after that conversation, after that feedback, after that correction. Give them a few seconds to compose themselves. If they don't, maybe you need to provide another one. And it probably doesn't need to be as high because they're probably not as excited anymore. And if your dog is on a leash, I love the upward leash pressure, guys, as just a nonverbal, nice, quiet, silent way to get your dog to settle. Do that. That's great. But what I don't do is I don't say sit and I don't say down. I say no. And I get my dog to take it down a notch because they need to learn how to control that state of mind. And like I said, if you don't do that, everything just stays so difficult, both for you and the dog. And then people think their dog is under control, but they're not. You don't have control of the dog if you can't control what's going on upstairs. And I'm not saying this is going to be super easy or look perfect for everybody, but the fact is, most people could be miles from where they are if they executed this. Even if you do have a dog that's really challenging, they could probably be light years from where they are now if you implemented this consistently. Even if they're not perfect, right? Every dog's different. Some cases are harder than others. Some dogs are really vocal, which can throw a monkey wrench into the works because people aren't really sure what to do with that. You might need to get help with it if you don't know. But I would say right now, if you find yourself being very command-centric, or if you find your dog getting overexcited in situations, but you know, in your mind, that's been okay because they're not, like I said, crashing and burning, right? They're not going through the door, but they're super excited at the door. You've still got work to do. So start thinking about that a little bit differently and go after that state of mind. Everything you do with your dog all day, you should always be assessing that state of mind. And if you see it getting to an inappropriate level for the context, then you should tell them. Right? And even in play, like if you've got dogs that are playing with you or playing with other dogs, some dogs, they get to a certain level of arousal and they can't handle it anymore. They start getting really nippy. Sometimes it'll even morph into aggression with some dogs. Right? You might have a dog that just can't handle that level of stimulation and you need to be able to shut it off. But if you don't know how to do that, that can be problematic. So really good to practice that on-off switch too, right? We're playing, we're getting excited, we're playing tug of war. Now I want you to lay down and I'm going to enforce it, right? And I'm not going to ask you to lay down 20 times. I'm asking you to lay down once. There's a correction if you don't. And then we're going to go back on again. We're going to play, we're going to run, then we're going to go down again. On-off, on-off. Really valuable thing to do. Anyway, state of mind, guys. Focus on your dogs. state of mind. I promise you, if you're not doing this or you're not quite doing this enough, not executing it quite the way that you think you should be, this will absolutely propel you around that corner. This will take things to a whole other level. And this is where you will see a shift really happen, where you're no longer managing your dog. They're just with you. And it's so great. And I want that for all of you. So state of mind, guys, state of mind.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us today. I really hope you enjoyed the show. If there's a specific topic you'd like to hear discussed, you can send that to me directly via email or fan mail. Just jump down into the show notes. That information will be there for you. I really look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for supporting the show, and I look forward to next time.